Welcome to this encouragement session, and we're talking about Matthew chapter 12. You know, in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, "Come, all who are heavy laden, come and enter my rest." What a promise of rest, you know. When you look at this beautiful nature, we are realizing aware of how big God is. And when we enter into nature, especially our consciences are cleared, and we say, yes, God lives, because it even testifies of God's goodness. And so there's a place of rest God wants us to enter in. But Matthew chapter 12 is a challenging chapter, because here Jesus embarks on a whole new journey on his ministry, and he comes into confrontation. And you know, we also need to confront especially the religious system and religious spirit in our lives. Because it's so easy to start to live just by rules and regulations and lies, and you know, and so what happens is Jesus' disciples go through the fields and they pluck some of the corn. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees of the day, they get whopping mad. Firstly, they become suspicious of Jesus. Then they start to investigate with the second story. And then eventually, they actually begin to plot to destroy him. Do you know what? Because for the Jews, the Sabbath was the day. We understand today that the Sabbath isn't necessarily from a Friday to Saturday as the Jews would partake in it. No, the Sabbath is the rest of God, and therefore we need to rest. We need to rest our bodies. We need to take some time off, you know. But for everybody, it can't be necessary on a Friday to a Saturday like the Jews, or on a Sunday, because some people need to work. But there is a place where you need to enter into rest. You need to switch off from the circumstances around you and be able to focus on how big God is. I love to go into nature, just walk into nature, worship the Lord there, because then my mind is clear. Or I just go for a jog, you know, because it's so important that we withdraw like Jesus did, to hear what the Father says. We need to spend time with God, and that's where true rest lies. It's not in an absence of connecting with God. The true rest of God is to really seek him and to be obedient and to be in his will. And so we see in the first couple of things that happen, we see the eating on the Sabbath, we see the healing on the Sabbath. Listen to this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 14. "Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. But when Jesus," verse 15, "knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Yet he warned them not to make him known, that it might be fulfilled which the prophet said." Remember, Matthew quoted out of a lot of prophecies, and it was written to the Jews, so that's why he would many times connect with the Old Testament. And so Jesus withdrew because he wanted to spend time with the Father, and he realized there's almost a turning point. There's almost a place where you can't be neutral. And later on, he actually says this. You know, listen to this, what he says in verse 29. "How can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad." I want to make a statement. There is no neutrality when it comes to God. You can't be neutral. You're either for him or you're against him. And so here we see a turning of Jesus' ministry through these stories, where he talks about the servant of God, where he talks about a house divided against itself cannot stand. And we're going to look at a very difficult passage to interpret. But it says, hey, you can't have a divided heart when it comes to the things of God. You know, James later says that if you are double-minded, you know, you are unstable in all of your ways, and you can receive nothing from the Lord. So some of us must make decisions. Are we going to follow God wholly, fully, or are we going to listen to what the world says, especially in this time? There's sort of almost a divide in the church as a whole, you know, because many people are saying, oh, you know, let me just be passive. You can't be passive around the things of God. And that's why Jesus says, either you're going to be neutral, that means you're siding actually with the world, or you're going to speak up. And that doesn't mean we need to stand on the corner and shout, you know, and preach at everyone. But it's a, don't be divided in your heart. It's either for God or it's against God. You know, the modern day gospel wants to sort of like just ease it out. You know, just be tolerant, just be nice, because we have a nice God. No, we have a good God, but he's not nice. Nice means just to be passive. and God's kingdom is coming, and it's an invitation, it's not a condemnation. And this is what freaked the Pharisees out, because they wanted to live by the rule. They just wanted to be nice people. They just were checking for every little thing. You know, I had the privilege to go with some Angus to Israel. And I, you know, when I looked at the Orthodox Jews, I realized, yo, God really loves them. But we would walk into the hotel, and then there were two sets of lifts. On the one side, you could just press the knobs and go up. On the other one, it was the lift for the Sabbath. You were not even allowed to press floor number 3 or floor number 4. It was work. So for the Jews, you were not even allowed to prepare food for the Sabbath. So they were so focused on doing the outward things, but not the things of the heart. And see, God doesn't like hypocrisy. He looks at the heart. And that's why he said some very bad stuff towards these Pharisees and Sadducees. Because he says, hey, you brood of vipers. You clean the outside of the cup, but the inside of the cup. So let's clean the inside of the cup. Let's not go around and judge other people. But let's cleanse our own cups, you know. And that's why I said a house divided cannot stand. And so what started to happen? Now remember, the plot thickens here. It's almost like, you know. So what started to happen is Jesus now started to heal a lot of people. The Bible actually says that scripture that I read, he healed them all. So they were tense. They decided, okay, we're not going to side with Christ. We're going to side against him. And then they started to plot. You know, there, you must know, the moment when you say yes to Jesus, you will have enemies. But isn't it beautiful? David said that God prepares a place at the table for our enemies even to sit on the other side, and there's a place of peace with him. Isn't it amazing? The enemies of accusation, even people that will come against the things of Christ in your life. They'll tell you what you can't do. They'll always tell you, don't go for this, don't go for that. Don't walk by faith. Don't get out on the boat. You know? And so this is what happened here with Jesus. And so then we come to this last part, and there's a lot of stuff, the scribes, the trees that's known by the fruit, but this unpardonable sin. Oh, this is a tough one, because I've, through the years, had so many young people come to me and say, like, yo, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. How does that work? Maybe I've already committed that sin. If you ask that question, you have not committed that sin. I can say that for sure. Because what happened here, Jesus started to do miracles, and then the Pharisees and the Sadducees said, look here, this is Beelzebub. This is the devil. And Jesus said, well, a house divided against itself cannot stand. So they said, the work of God is the devil. And they started to influence a lot of people. So what begins to happen when you come to this place where you commit this sin that cannot be forgiven, the unpardonable sin, it means that you have lost your senses. You've lost your hunger. You've lost, you've grown so hard inside that there's actually not a place where the Holy Spirit can reawaken. Because of a hardness, because of the judgment that you bring, and because of this right and wrong. And we see the progression through Matthew 12, where it just started with like curiosity and suspicion, then how these Pharisees just went on and eventually said, that's the devil, that's Beelzebub. Yeah. And so let's never judge. I always look, and that's why in the middle here it says actually judge things by the fruit. You know, some people ask me sometimes, like, hey, this guy fell over, you know, somebody prayed for him and he fell. You know, I say, I don't know. I don't know if it's from God or not. But what I am going to ask him is, has that falling over produced fruit in your life? Have you changed? Have you grown more hungry for God than before? Then, hey, then God can use anything. God could use a donkey. So he can use me and he can use you. We qualify. Yeah. So don't judge by the outward. Judge by the inward. And so many times we don't know. And God is going to work in ways that we don't understand. And this is what he says. And so that unpardonable sin is simply when you start to say, well, that thing that happens over there, that's from the devil. Can't be from God. You know, and so I want to end off this encouragement session now. There's so many movies of people, good-hearted Christians, but they build their whole ministry on reaction against other Christians, warning everybody, always like, no, that thing is not the Holy Spirit, that is the devil, you know. Be careful. Rather tell me where is the real thing than always be reactionary. And so I once was with this policeman, and he said to me, he studies the 200 rand notes or whatever he's in the in the police for fake money, and he needs to identify that. And he says there are so many fake notes, but what they do is they study the real note, and then anything that is fake that comes next to that, it's so clear to identify it because you know the real thing. So when it even comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the things of God, ask people what's the real thing. If somebody builds their ministry on, oh, watch out for this, watch out for this church, watch out for that thing, and there's always reactionary, ask them, okay, show me the real thing. Show me the real gifts. Show me where it's happening in your life so that I can learn. Let's be humble. Let's be teachable. Let's not be like Pharisees or Sadducees that judge on the outside, but our own hearts have not been judged. So I want to pray for us. Father, give us soft hearts. Give us innocent hearts. Let our hearts not be divided. Lord, today we heard again, there's no neutrality with you. We're either for you or against you. Today we make a choice to say yes to your invitation. And we ask, Lord, that you remove every Pharisee and Sadducee spirit in our midst, so that we can follow you like children and love you with all of our hearts, all of our minds, and all of our souls. Amen.